You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. Please listen to Her Story, celebrating women who lead, on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health. All right, listeners, I am here with Marilyn Shields, attorney and executive director at the PA Interbranch Commission for Gender, Racial, and Ethnic Fairness. I'm so excited to get into this podcast with you. You're an awesome person. Just your mind, the way that you think, the way that you approach community and society. Really, I was blown away when I've been following you for quite some time, you know, just following your work.
From a respectful distance. Good to know.
And this is about you. This is about celebrating you and celebrating women in Women's History Month. And I'm looking forward to learning about your journey. So what inspired your pursuit in your current career, which is law and being the executive director?
It's a good question. I grew up, I'm a Lehigh Valley transplant.
Okay.
Full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate me. I grew up in...
Welcome, as I said.
Thank
welcome.
You. I've been here long enough that I think I count as a Lehigh Valley person. But I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, North Braddock.
So you're not an Eagles fan, or are you an Eagles fan? I mean, we have to make you an Eagles fan now.
No. Again, I said I was born in southwestern Pennsylvania. That would be Steelers country.
Yes.
That is my birthright. there's no changing it up, although I suppose I definitely will root for the Eagles.
Yes.
Support local talent. But I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania. My mother was one of 12 kids. There were no lawyers. There were no judges. That was not a thing in my family growing up. But I happened to attend a school district that was created by a court order. The Western District of Pennsylvania ordered desegregation of schools in my area, and that's how I ended up graduating from a school called Woodland Hills High School. Wow. Fun fact, Woodland Hills actually faced Parkland, where I currently live, in a PIAA football championship a number of years ago. So those are my bona fides.
Amazing.
High school. If you're from southwestern Pennsylvania, high school football is just, that's what you do on Friday nights, Saturdays. But having grown up in this desegregated school district, I had this sense that there were these courts, there were attorneys that could have really big impact on lives. It was five different school districts, largely predominant white, upper class. I would have gone to General Braddock, which was predominantly black, and they put all of these schools together. So that's how I first probably became aware of the idea of being a lawyer. And of course, I grew up in the 80s, so I was watching Claire Huxtable on, you know, The Cosby Show, and she seemed like she was in control and able to do things and direct the household. And I like that. I was drawn to that idea. So I'd known for a long time before I ever went to college that I was likely going to do something in the legal field.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And there's so many ups and downs in the legal field. Being a woman in the legal field has been, I'm sure, challenging. But with all of your knowledge, every day when you wake up, what are you saying to yourself? How am I what is the difference that I am going to make? What do I have on my plate that I need to, we're trying to get into your mind, right? We're trying to celebrate that goodness. Tell us, what makes you tick? What makes you move?
Ooh, getting better, right? I think that I wake up every day with this idea that I can be a little bit better than I was the day before, and that my community, the structures that I care about, and it happens to be government, legal profession, can be better. How do I go about being a part of that process? That's what gets me moving, is that idea that you're not done, mm-hmm. right? We talk about this idea of humility, and I think it's got to be deep in your soul, this idea that I'm not good enough yet. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not worthy, not that I'm not good, but there's always room for improvement. And if you can approach, and this is not just work, but your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your friendships, with this idea that I can be better in some ways. Mm. How do I identify those? How can I listen better? How can I do more, be better? And, you know, that willingness to learn, they call it I went to a small liberal arts college, so every so often you're going to hear me say things that sound kind of liberal arts college-y, but that love of learning is really core to how I try to go about things. And then it's courage, right? Once you've kind of collected all the data, it's the courage to make changes in your life to improve. That's what motivates me every day.
I'm so blown away by that, because I feel like more recently, I feel like this whole world needs a little bit more courage, right? We are getting into a space where sometimes we feel frightened by things that are going around us, you know, things that we're seeing in the media, things that we're seeing, you know, from a work perspective. And women are treated as if we need to get up every single day with all the baggage, put on that smile, do your hair, do your makeup, put the best outfit on, and move forward. And I feel like there's a lot of, and based on some statistics that are coming out, about 68% of women are dealing with mental health disparities here and issues, even in just in our Lehigh Valley. And how, as a woman, do you have a tribe, right? Everybody has their tribe. And every strong woman knows that that is the key to success. You know, what are some qualities of your tribe that you want to bring and encourage this next generation to always have?
I'm going to name check I have a coach. So I've run a lot. Yeah. Anyone that has followed me on social media knows it's like noun, verb, run. And I happen to have a coach for running. She's a wonderful woman named Holly Benner. Mm-hmm. And having that coach, we've been working together for, it's 2025, so more than a year at this point, is having someone that you can talk to about what you're experiencing and what your challenges are as a runner. And she has helped me get to a place where I say, okay, you're afraid. Mm. Okay, you're afraid. That's a feeling, but that's not a fact.
Yes.
Facts aren't feelings.
Yes.
And when you're afraid, you have to just do it scared.
It's so good.
And that realization, it did not come quickly. But that realization has translated not just to my running, but to the work that I'm doing with Inner Branch Commission, to, you know, hopefully how I handle being a mother, how I handle being a spouse. You know, there will be difficult periods, and you're going to be afraid of the thing that you need to say or do next.
Yes.
Okay. So what? Carry on. Correct. You need to be able to still keep moving forward. So that's how I get there. That's what my tribe gives me, that courage to just say, okay, this is going to be hard. This is going to be challenging. You may not feel that you are up to the task yet, but maybe you should just be curious about it and stop writing the narrative ahead of time.
That's so good.
The worst runs I ever have are the ones where I have told myself I'm not going to succeed at this particular run. And, you know, Holly tells me, whether you can or you can't, whatever story you're telling yourself, you're right.
I mean, you're just dropping gems.
But it's true.
I for the first time, I am almost speechless, which is not going to happen for long. But it is that internal narrative and that mental health state, right? We were talking about this offline, and you said that women are judged on their resume, the things that they've accomplished, and our male counterparts are judged based on their potential, right?
Frequently.
Mm-hmm. Frequently. Mm-hmm. Now, we're trying to change that narrative, and the way that we can change it is just by what you're saying, is being able to say, in my mind, I can, and I will. And even if I don't get to exactly where I need to be in that goal, I was just short of it, or I'm going to reach it at some point. I was closer than I was when I thought that I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I feel like that's going to inspire so many people to get out and to just be and to bring all of that fear, pack it up, yep. You know, bring it down and go head on to with your goal. So I want to jump in with that courage mentality, right, into your work. Tell me about your work, your day to day. Tell me the mission of what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, the day-to-day changes every single day, yeah. Right? But the Pennsylvania Interbranch Commission for Gender, Racial, and Ethnic Fairness was created in 2005, and our mission is to promote equal application of law, full stop.
Awesome.
That has translated into trying to hear individuals who maybe don't have the most power, don't have the loudest voices, and thinking about their needs as well. For example, we have a whole chapter of our kind of founding study that's based on language access and thinking about what is it like to be an individual who perhaps didn't speak English as their first language. The term of art is limited English proficient individual. What are the needs of that individual coming to a courthouse? Because they have every right, as you or I have, to avail themselves of services.
Absolutely.
How do we meet their needs? And out of that came, with Interbranch's noodling and pushing, a program to have certified interpreters, people that can translate documents, skilled, highly skilled individuals to provide those services. Yep. You know, before Interbranch started pushing for this, Pennsylvania didn't have that. Another area where we have focused has been on indigent defense. So what happens, what are the outcomes like for individuals who perhaps do not have a lot of money, but find themselves in our criminal justice system?
Yes.
Because we don't believe that the outcome should be different based on how much money you have in your bank account. So how do we go about pushing our government to make sure we have funding, adequate funding, to support individuals who perhaps do not have their own funds to get through that process? That's what we do, is spend a lot of time thinking about, okay, what about the juror? We think about the plaintiff, we think about victims, we think about defendants. Well, what about the jurors? What services do they need? Are we...
And nobody's thinking about that, right?
Yeah, just...
Because as a citizen, you have to be a jury, right? You need to serve.
You don't get to ask. You don't get to opt... Well, you can opt out in other ways, and there are all sorts of things that people will do. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
When a court sends you a summons, it is not a request that you show up.
You need to show up.
You need to show up.
Or else.
They can't put you in jail
if
you do not show up. Now, by and large, our courts don't do that, but that's true.
Yeah.
So what do we owe of those people who put aside their lives, their work?
Yes.
They may have childcare issues to show up and be in a jury for an unspecified period of time. How do we care for them when we know, as attorneys, we're going to show them things that, by and large, they would not see? Whether that's photos of people that have been harmed, videos, all sorts of content that is potentially trauma-inducing. I mean, you mentioned, 62% of women having mental health issues. Well, we know, we have people with mental health issues, pre-existing mental health issues, that will end up on juries.
Absolutely.
How are we caring for those people? So that
And further traumatizing in that way.
Absolutely.
Right? So they don't get to get shielded from that. And perhaps they had a trauma similar. And how does that bring up in their process and how they judge a situation, right? And I love that you're caring for these individuals, right? So that's a detail that's major that I don't think, again, like we were saying, a majority of people understand. And I'm just grateful that you're doing that work.
Right. Well, we think at the end of the day, we've got these commissioners, and at full staff, we would have 24 commissioners across the Commonwealth. And what binds that group is this willingness to think about others.
Yes.
I think it's very easy to understand your own struggles.
Totally.
That part's easy. What we try to do is think about others and then push our community mm-hmm. to also think about the person that's, you know, maybe in the house next door or down the street, to really be more empathetic.
Absolutely.
To hear stories that perhaps are not their own. And hopefully, when you expand the level of consciousness over these issues, you expand empathy and you create capacity, hopefully, to get real change made.
You're holding space for your neighbor.
We're trying.
Right?
We're trying. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that are not holding space for their neighbor and going with their conscious bias or their whatever they think is the right way to be mm-hmm. and be the right individual and be the right citizen really should be taking a hard look. Even no matter what your beliefs are, there should be a way where you can feel, I understand where you're coming from.
Right. I might not be my story.
It's not my story, but empathy takes work. And takes work on yourself, mm-hmm. right? My husband and I've been crediting him a lot for a lot of things. I think it's important. He mentioned something and he said, you got to love yourself more. You got to be kinder to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the worst critic and the people that are worst critics to others are really bad critics to themselves. And so to any viewer that's listening that may be super uber critical, women have this quality.
Yes.
Ladies, listen up. And we just want to make a note here that anybody can listen to this podcast. I hope that our male counterparts, any peoples, are listening to this, because you're getting into some incredible conversations about women. I mean, you're getting into the in. You're in mm-hmm. right now. And women have a critique about us where we feel like we're not good enough, right? We are not kind enough to each other, to ourselves. If we were to look in the mirror, how can we be better in that way? Some perspective on your journey that you have had.
I think, where do I want to start with this? There's so many directions to go in. Where women, particularly women who have children, mm-hmm. can get caught up is in the wars, right? Mm. There's the mommy wars. Mm. you have kids, it's wonderful. Although I just read a book that suggests that maybe having kids is not the greatest thing. Elena Ferrante, The Lost Daughter, definitely worth reading. Mm-hmm. But I love my children.
Yes,
unlike this woman in this book.
Yes.
But you have kids, and then suddenly your kids are going to school, and there's a PTA.
Yes.
And boy, you can't, there aren't enough hours in the day mm-hmm. to be at every field trip,
yes.
to be at every activity, to be the class aide. I just received the email about Valentine's Day.
Hey, so did I. I got the same thing.
Get
you have the 100 days
ready.
Did you get the 100 days email yet?
We don't have the 100 days.
I got the 100 days. Yeah.
But you can very easily feel mm-hmm. as you see other parents doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
Who have, maybe they don't have a job, or maybe they do and they just really are passionate about it. But you'll start looking at the other person and saying, well, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Do I need to change something about what I'm doing? I'm not living up to that ideal and I need to change. And that happens also in the working sector, right? You start looking around. And maybe you've got kids and the woman two doors down doesn't. And she's there to all hours of the night. And
yes.
you can't do that. And you're trying to figure out, how do I live up
compete
with this person? Which is all to say, perhaps the most important thing I've figured out, if I've figured out anything, is how not to compare myself to other women. Because I don't. First and foremost, I don't really know anyone else's
situation.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that mom who's able to make all the snacks and things has someone at home, you know, a mother or a nanny or someone that can help relieve pressure somewhere.
Sure.
Maybe they just never sleep and they don't need the full eight and
maybe
a half
vampires,
that I need.
Exactly.
Who knows? By the way, doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
If I can figure out where I want to be and where I need to be, that's got to be enough.
That's so good. Are you all listening to this? that is enough. And you got it from Marilyn Shields. I mean, really, if that is confirmation, it's the truth. Like, you are enough. What you're doing is enough. Your children love you. You love your children. They're safe. And I think that's the comparison thing, right? People compare, but women love to compare. And sometimes when you put your blinders on, you have a small group of, you know, tribal members, or I call them my tribal members, my girls, my women. And I'm bouncing ideas off. I have two sisters that are my best friends, right? And they tell me the truth of what I'm feeling, right? When I feel down on myself, when I feel like I'm not enough, they're coming in and they're jumping in and saying, hold on, that's wrong. So make sure that your circle is helping you to better your mental health. That's another thing, is like, if you have the wrong five people around you.
Yes.
Well, good luck.
And I want to be clear that that's an ongoing conversation that you need to be having with yourself.
Yes.
My daughter's going to turn 9 in a few days. Last year we did, coming out of COVID, we did the whole birthday party. We did treats in school. I did it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the other day, are we having a birthday party? Not this year. Like, yeah. Mommy just does not have capacity.
Yeah.
To do it this time.
And it's that flexibility, right? You're teaching your children flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's vital, because not every call is going to be, oh my goodness, congratulations, you got this, you mm-hmm. did it. It's going to be, this is X, Y, and Z, and you have to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And having that resilience, that grit, you grew up with it, I grew up with it, right? But sometimes we want to shield our kids a little bit from it, but we got to push.
No.
And we said, no, you
not this year.
Yeah.
We're just not.
Yeah.
Mom's not doing that this.
Yeah.
And that has to be okay. And did exactly. that mean that she was thrilled? No.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
She's got years to forget. No, she's very well taken care of, and
yes.
she's good. She'll be fine.
Exactly right. And when we look at it from a mom's perspective, sometimes you say, well, they did X, Y, and Z, or so-and-so did this down the road. We can't do that anymore. We can't do that anymore.
Whether not my
you're,
kids.
Exactly.
Not
whether you're single in the workforce, or whether you're a mom in the workforce, or whether you are retiring soon in the workforce. This goes into a really good question real quick, because we're getting deep. We're in the deep end. This is some good deep end questions, because not a lot of people are talking about this, I feel. How sometimes I feel that work and life can sometimes feel clicky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you feel like you're in your own little island doing what you need to do, kind of lone wolf, right? Mm-hmm. I know from my perspective as a minority woman, an immigrant, you know, I came to America, we became citizens, and it was hard. And my trail was difficult. And I, you know, being able to kind of connect with people that maybe didn't have that same exact experience sometimes is hard for me. So I found other ways to cope, to find similarities. So automatically, and I think you are similar mm-hmm. in that you're an empath. You want
I'm
to
an empath.
To yes.
For better or for worse.
I love it. I love it.
I wish I could turn it off sometimes.
Yeah.
Because there's a weight to that, right? I sometimes wish that I had the ability to turn it off.
Yeah.
And just not care about other people. I think life might be easier
yeah.
if I didn't feel so much. So you really have to work on, okay, you feel it, but you can't wear yourself down to a nub.
Yes.
Trying to address every injustice that you see.
Exactly.
There's no way to do that. That's yeah. no way to live.
That's so good.
And you yeah. still have to live.
Yeah, that's a very good
You do
point.
Have
that's,
to still live. Yes.
And with that point, I want to jump into some rapid fire questions.
Yes.
And I know that you're ready.
Speed session.
Yeah, some Go. Speed session for you, because, I mean, there's no better person to do it with. So first, I want to know, then we're going to lighten it up a little bit. So we're here in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I consider it one of the most beautiful places in the world. But what is your favorite thing to do in the Lehigh Valley? Since you're coming in from Steelers Nation, right? Tell me what your favorite thing is to do in the Lehigh Valley.
It's running.
Yeah.
I considered for a second saying something else, but the answer is
yeah.
running is a deep, deep love. And this place has incredible
yes.
places to do it. And there are all of these pocket communities, and we're here in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. We are stone's throw from Aardvark,
yes.
which has a lot of great people.
They're amazing.
Who are constantly out running. I'm a member of Lehigh Valley Road Runners.
Fabulous.
I can run there from my house. There are parks. We could just go up and down the list of places to run. It has...
I'm more of a speed walker.
Speed walk?
Yeah.
Whatever you... not a competition.
Yes.
Whatever you love. But I have found not only has it brought me to these running communities, but it is a bond that I have with my son. I have two kids. My son runs. We can go out on runs together. He is always the only person that wants to hear about my runs. Mm-hmm. I am always the person that wants to hear about his runs and how they went. It brings me a lot of joy to do that in Lehigh Valley.
Awesome.
I just, Red Covered Bridge Tour, there are any number of places you can find yourself here running.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I love here.
This has been so inspirational. This podcast has been, this conversation is just really setting
us up. But I have to give
up.
You a second now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Reading. When I can't run or I have to take a mandatory rest day, mm-hmm. it's reading. And when I say that, that is our public libraries here. I go to Parkland Community Library all the time.
That's beautiful. And
then if I'm going to a bookstore, I'm going to the end because they are good to me and they are good to my kids.
So good.
In terms of just helping them find their passion,
Absolutely.
Find what's going to spark their interest. And so I could not talk about what I love about Lehigh Valley and not mention
those things.
My book folks. And
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you for joining us today. And thank you for sharing.
That was 30 minutes? You're kidding.
I know. We could do this for 2 hours.
Are you sure?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was like, 30 minutes. How are we going to fill this slot? But
you just have to have me back again.
That's exactly right.
I ramble.
That's exactly. But I love it. And I think that you've given such great wisdom to our listeners and our viewers. And I'm just looking forward to having you back on in the near future again. But thank
love
you.
Love to do it.
Thank you to our listeners. And I want you all to have a wonderful, wonderful week. And thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Sandra Bieber, your host of Her Story, Celebrating Women Who Lead. Please listen to Her Story, Celebrating Women Who Lead, on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health.